Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony. They can't believe Joe Pa's finished.
He means everything to me. So I grew up Penn State, grew up Pennsylvania guy. We're all very upset right now with the news.
And right after word got out, Penn State fired Paterno. It was a near riot on the campus rocked by a child sex abuse scandal. Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso, live in State College, PA.
Dave, rocks were thrown, streetlights were toppled, and arrests were made after students took to the streets, blasting the firing of Coach Joe Paterno amid the child sex abuse allegations against former assistant coach Jerry Sandusky.
Joe Pa alerted his supervisors, who one of those supervisors was the chief of all campus police. He did what he needed to do.
But even Joe Paterno in a statement yesterday saying he wishes he would have done more. University President Graham Spanier also fired late last night after the state's governor told the school board to make changes here immediately. Dave?
And Jeff, after a huge sell-off, Wall Street's trying to rebound. Fox Business Network's Lauren Simonetti here live.
Dave, stocks climbing after yesterday's nosedive. The Dow Industrials are up 82 points in the first half hour of trading after skidding nearly 400 yesterday. Helping the gains is news that Greece has picked a new prime minister. Loukas Papandimos is in charge of keeping Greece in the eurozone. And investors focusing also on signs of an improving U.S. job market. Claims for jobless aid fell to 390,000 last week, the lowest level in 7 months. Dave.
Lauren, Rick Perry admits.
I stepped in it last night, that's for sure.
After another debate gaffe, his mind went blank naming the three agencies he'd get rid of as president.
Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
He went on like that for nearly a minute. His Republican rivals trying to help him remember energy. Michelle Bachmann later said,
"It's your worst nightmare." And so I think everyone just felt really bad for him.
A fifth guilty plea in Philadelphia from a worker at an abortion clinic. A grand jury report showed had a doctor routinely killing viable live-born babies. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
Hey, guys. Macy's Veterans Day sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
At Advance Auto Parts, we don't do anything just part way. We go full throttle. We don't just sell batteries, we'll test them fast and free on most vehicles. If the best way to test your battery was to place our tongues directly on your old battery, we'd do it. But we have a machine that's far more accurate. Need a new battery? We'll install it free with purchase using our hands. No machine can replace those. Service is our best part.
Advance Auto Parts.
They've made history in Alabama, filing a big bankruptcy case in Birmingham. Fox News Radio's Evan Brown has this live.
Well, Dave, Jefferson County, Alabama, had been teetering on bankruptcy for quite some time. They owe more than $4 billion. Much of that comes from a sewer system upgrade that was demanded by a federal court. This is the county where Birmingham is located, and they've been trying to work with their creditors, namely J.P. Morgan Chase. The bank was willing to forgive $1 billion, but wanted the county to raise taxes and refinance the rest. That deal fell through. And while much of the debt could be erased but now by the courts, the county will likely borrow millions more to pay the lawyers, Dave.
Yeah, and it's the biggest municipal bankruptcy in U.S. history. Western Alaska has been battered by what's like a snow hurricane off the Bering Sea with 85-mile-an-hour wind.
We have an airplane, so my husband got it like quadruple tied down. I'm going to stay inside my house and hope I have electricity and play some board games with my kids.
She's in Nome, where there is damage and fear of a big sea storm surge. Forecasters say in the Atlantic, Tropical Storm Sean could turn into a hurricane as it moves toward Bermuda. They say there could be dangerous surf and rip currents. She was the belle of the ball.
Drop everything.
Taylor Swift again wins big at the CMAs. Fox News Radio, Sabrina Sabah, live in Nashville.
At just 21 years old, Taylor Swift has won Entertainer of the Year twice.
I'm so happy right now. This is thanks to all the fans who filled up those stadiums and arenas all over the world this year.
She beat out reigning Entertainer of the Year Brad Paisley, 2005 winner Keith Urban, and newcomers to the category Jason Aldean, who took home Album of the Year, and Blake Shelton, who won Best Male Vocalist.
All you freaking crazy people out here, man, supporting country music. Thank you so much.
Shelton's wife, Miranda Lambert, also won Best Female Vocalist. Dave?
Sabrina, it's day 133 of the NBA lockout, and players and owners will resume talks again this afternoon. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD2, New Rochelle.
This is Charles Buscemi at Morgan Stanley Smith Barney's World Headquarters in Purchase, New York. I've been on the radio in New York State for over 25 years, during which our nation has gone through many changes and been confronted by financial upheaval and political turmoil. Through it all, I've been privileged to enjoy the confidence of many thousands of radio listeners on WVOX and WVIP who have bestowed their confidence and trust in me and my Morgan Stanley Smith Barney Associates. My business card says Senior Vice President and Financial Advisor, but to those careful and astute investors who have entrusted a good portion of their hard-earned wealth to me and mine over the years, I've become so much more than that. If your portfolio and holdings are in need of a timely review, I'd be very glad to arrange a conference where we could sit down and for no cost or obligation review what your financial investment goals are. We're at 2000 Westchester Avenue, right off the Hutch in Westchester County. You can call me direct at Morgan Stanley Smith Barney's headquarters at 914-225-7158. Once again, that's 914-225-7158. My secretary's name is Sandra, and she'll be glad to set up an appointment. 914-225-7158.
Here's the updated weather forecast on your Thursday. We've got more mild weather for today, but lots of cloud cover. There's patchy dense fog, too. Bring the umbrella just in case there could be some showers. A setup on a weather chart shows a strong frontal system extends from south and eastern Canada right down through central Pennsylvania, through the Virginias, the Carolinas, and down into the Gulf. High pressures across Texaco, Texas, and sections of Oklahoma and Arkansas. It's going to move towards the east by northeast, and that's going to give us some nice weather, cool to start starting Friday and then clearing up for the weekend. So for today, it'll be cloudy, some areas of fog and drizzle, maybe a few light showers here and there, but not much. Temperatures mid-60s. Mostly cloudy. Again, that chance of some light rain or showers this evening, clearing up overnight in the lower 40s. Mostly sunny, breezy on Friday. Friday's highs will reach the lower 50s on Veterans Day. Partly cloudy at night, mid-30s. Saturday features sunshine in the middle 50s. Sunday mostly sunny in the lower 60s. And Monday mostly cloudy, back into the lower 60s. A chance of showers by Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Recently, some people have had questions about the plants that generate our electricity here in New York. You have a right to know the facts about one of the most important providers of power to our area. Did you know that Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester, with virtually no emissions and at lower cost? Indian Point's operations are constantly reviewed to ensure safety by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. It's among the most thoroughly reviewed nuclear energy facilities in the country, and that there are multiple federal inspectors on site, and the law guarantees them access to any document, any employee, and any portion of the facility. That's accountability, every day, all the time. I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Michael Dandry, Rabbi Amiel Wall, Sam Spady, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Hello, New York. This is Bill O'Shaughnessy. Thank you. Thank you for joining us right here at 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com. We welcome you and yours once more to America's great community station, WVOX, local and vocal, and yours.
The voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lovensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, November 10th, 2011, the 48th day of autumn. The trees are in full retreat, shedding their leaves. The flock of brant geese, which again this year visited New Rochelle, have migrated south. Haven't seen an egret lately, so all or most of them are gone as well. But this morning I did see a heron, which I gather was a black-crowned night heron. Didn't get a good enough look, but it was clearly one of the smaller herons. And that's the one I think it was. So they're not all gone. Hours of daylight continue to shorten. A beautiful autumn so far, this morning included. We've had some very nice fog in the morning at 6, 7 o'clock. And it's just walking in it and jogging in it is sublime. It's a wonderful, wonderful season. The unusual early snowstorm we had 2 weeks ago was just that, an anomaly. Enjoy this glorious season. We have lost 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 33 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:36 this morning. It will set at 4:41 this evening. That is early, 4:41 this evening. That's what happens when we get back to standard time. We will have just 10 hours and 5 minutes of daylight today. The short, dark, cold days of winter are a-coming. The moon will rise at 4:27 this afternoon. It will set at 6:27 tomorrow morning. Tonight is the full moon, the day when normally conservative Bob Levinsold can no more constrain himself from howling than refrain from eating or breathing. My blood runs hot. I am possessed. I must. Oh, oh. Next full moon is December 10th. Next high tides in New Rochelle in about 20 minutes at 10:34. In Yonkers, it turned high at 8:35. It will again at 9 o'clock tonight, 9:01 tonight. In Haverstraw, just 9:45 a short while ago, again at 10:11 p.m. and Peekskill 9:58 this morning. So everybody's high. Pretty much right now, New Rochelle will soon be in, what I say, 20 minutes. Looks like 22 minutes, unless my math is really off. Now a regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Marine Lance Corporal Nicholas A. Daniels, age 25, of Elmwood Park, Illinois. He was with the 1st Marine Division, killed in an attack in Helmand Province, and these were all Afghanistan, on November 5th. Specialist Christopher D. Gailey, age 26, of Ocheulata, Oklahoma. He was with the Oklahoma Army National Guard, one of two soldiers killed when their vehicle was attacked by a roadside bomb in Paktia Province on November 1st. The other was Private First Class Serena N. Butcher, age 19, of Chakota, Oklahoma, also with the Oklahoma Army National Guard. And I pulled some pictures of her up off the internet. She's a cute young 19-year-old girl. And I just, maybe it's sexist. I don't know what it is. But when I see a young female soldier killed in war, it's especially tragic. I mean, all the guys who get killed, they're also tragic. But something about a woman being killed at war just rankles me in a different place. Also, Staff Sergeant Ari R. Cullors, age 28, of New London, Connecticut. He was with the 10th Mountain Division. He was killed by a rocket-propelled grenade in Kandahar Province on October 30th. A lot of 10th Mountain Division people are involved in this conflict and consequently lose their lives. Sergeant James Michael Darrow, age 38, from Austin, Texas, Screaming Eagle with the 101st Airborne. One of five soldiers killed, along with eight civilians, when a suicide bomber detonated a car filled with explosives next to an armored bus in Kabul on October 29th. Three of the four others were the only ones listed. Those three are Lieutenant Colonel David E. Cabrera, age 41, of Abilene, Texas. He was an assistant professor of family medicine. So not a combat guy, but wrong place at the wrong time. Staff Sergeant Christopher R. Newman, age 26, of Shelby, North Carolina. He was with Medical Company A with the Tripler Army Medical Center. And Sergeant Carlo F. Eugenio, age 29, of Rancho Cucamonga, California. He was with the California Army National Guard. It was always so that that National Guard's people were not sent overseas, but that has changed for various reasons. They were the ones that stood ready to handle domestic disturbance, but a lot of them are getting killed now, too. Staff Sergeant Stephen Joel Dunning, age 31, of Milpitas, California, who's with the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force, killed by a roadside bomb during combat in Helmand Province on October 27th. These 9 American servicemen and 1 servicewoman were alive on the date of our last broadcast just 2 weeks ago. Who will die today or tomorrow or next Thursday? How many new deaths will we report in this space 2 weeks from now? Basically, how many people are alive today whose names will be read on this program in 2 weeks? I hate to find out, but it's my duty, I feel. Please don't forget these fallen troops. Don't forget that more fall all too frequently, and they deserve at least to be remembered. And remember, too, what Republican president and one of America's few 5-star generals ever, Dwight David Eisenhower, said. To paraphrase, he said, beware of the military-industrial complex. This was, as I recall, when he was leaving office in his farewell speech. And he was referring to, not by name, but companies like Halliburton, which is Dick Cheney's company, which will always find ways to make war so they can make money. The worst kind of greed. Is organized crime any better than Halliburton? Don't know. They're smaller and less legal, but they all trade in human lives. Each of these American deaths is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. As we know, our last troops will leave Iraq by the end of the year, which is less than 2 months from today. We can only hope that those in Afghanistan will come home soon, too. Now, lest I be accused, I am not a peacenik. I know that as long as there are humans, there will be wars. At least until that fearful upcoming World War III, which will be fought undoubtedly with nuclear weapons, which will decimate the planet and maybe, just maybe, wake up the human race. I do not expect to see that in my lifetime. Well, before we get to the Culture Corner, congratulations to our very own Ernie Davis, who should be back on the air shortly as Mayor Redux, the past and future mayor of Mount Vernon. I love it. Maureen Walker was a good candidate. She likely would have made a good mayor, but I know Ernie will. Ernie has proven himself over 12 years. I look forward to seeing what he will accomplish in the next 4, and I look forward to seeing him here at the radio station. Okay, now it's time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and that you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. We saw The Atmosphere of Memory at the Bank Street Theater, starring Ellen Burstyn and John Glover. John Glover will be my guest later on in the program, and this is my review. A good drama should have some humor, and a good comedy should have some drama. This play within a play has an abundance of both, which almost makes it hard to place within a genre. Ultimately, though, it is a drama. And a hell of a good one. This is a new play by David Barr Katz, who has lots of playwriting credits. It's the world premiere production. It kept us glued to our seats. High drama at times, very funny at times, invoking Medea, Macbeth, Gilbert and Sullivan, Alexander Dumas, Ibsen, and some references I surely did not catch. He shows his literacy. This is David Barr Katz. When one of the characters almost says Macbeth out loud, they all shush him, playing to the old and surprisingly resilient superstition that the name must never be uttered in a theater. Try uttering the name Macbeth in any theater where there are actors or staff around, and they will look at you like you just said the worst curse word you possibly could. The characters are in a theater in their play within a play, but so are we, the audience. The playwright John, played by Max Casella of The Sopranos, speaking about his childhood, protests, "I am just trying to understand what happened." His father, Murray, brilliantly played by Emmy nominee, Tony winner John Glover, informs him that he never will, which is words to live by. There are some truly off-color references, mostly delivered by Glover, that may make your jaw drop, but boy, do they work to define the characters. We have just a few seconds before the break, so I'm going to, I will continue this review when we get back. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Chico or Chino, California, Bobo or Burnt Corn, Alabama, Chicken or Eek, Alaska, Baghdad, Barnyard or Bumblebee, Arizona, or Goobertown, Arizona, you have logged on.
With
business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD2.
From the Fox Business Network, it's a reversal of fortune for Wall Street this morning. After yesterday's dismal day for the bulls, signs of progress on the European debt crisis helping boost the major averages. Positive news on the U.S. economy is also pushing stocks higher. Just past 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 110 points. Jobless claims fell to their lowest level in 7 months last week, a sign the labor market may be slowly improving. Initial claims came in lower than expected at 390,000. The four-week moving average, which smooths out volatility, also hit its lowest level since April. And the trade deficit narrowed more than expected in September, hitting its lowest level this year. The 4% drop was fueled by an increase in exports. The same can't be said for China. The trade surplus widened for that nation in October as exports grew at the slowest pace in 8 months. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Can't believe I'm pulling this off after all these years. So glad I got that personal loan from OneMain Financial.
Can I take this blindfold off?
Let me help you.
We're going on a cruise.
No, dear. The honeymoon we never took.
You've made promises. We can help you keep them. We are OneMain Financial, providing personalized loan solutions with flexible payment options. Go to OneMainFinancial.com or call 1-855-321-MAIN. OneMain Financial. Your needs, your goals, your dreams. Offer subject to restrictions and requirements of the licensee. For licensing information, visit our website or call us.
From morning.
Wakes me up every morning and keeps me going all day.
Till night.
I listen all day.
You can count on us, WVOX Worldwide.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. You are listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I'm going to repeat my outline because I got cut off. Chico, or if you're listening in Chico or Chino, California, cannot neglect these. Bobo or Burnt Corn, Alabama, Chicken or Eek, I love that, Eek, Alaska, Baghdad, Barnyard or Bumblebee, Arizona, or Goobertown, Arizona, you have logged on to www.wvox.com and you are listening live. Okay, got that. Now, I was reading the review of The Atmosphere of Memory, starring Ellen Burstyn and John Glover. It's playing at the Bank Street Theater in Lower Manhattan on Bank Street near the Hudson River on the west side. An interesting space, and this play is way better than the space. The space is okay, but you don't expect Off-Broadway to be quite so good. So we were saying that John, who is the playwright, this is a playwright trying to write a play about his life. And the playwright's name is John. He's played by Max Casella of The Sopranos. He played the part of Benny Fazio, that the young mobster who sat at the bar and stole credit card numbers, and he got beat up by Artie, the restaurateur, if you follow The Sopranos. That's who's in this play. He's speaking about his childhood. He protests, "I am just trying to understand what happened." And his father, Murray, brilliantly played by Emmy nominee and Tony winner John Glover, who will be with us in a few minutes, informs him that he never will, which is words to live by. Some truly off-color references, truly, truly off-color, mostly delivered by Glover with panache. He's not embarrassed at all. He's cool. They may make your jaw drop, but they certainly work to define his character and the others. So playwright John, Max Casella, gets his real family together. His mother is cast, actually, in the play. And his real father and sister come to express their feelings, their thoughts about the way their characters are portrayed, to breathe life into the script. He brings his real people in. He drags out the notebooks. Literally, he had kept notebooks of his growing up. He was not much of a participator in life, but a chronicler of it. So he drags out his notebooks, all of the real things that happened and the words that were spoken, and presents them. And once the family gets into the written and recorded words, there is no turning back. And this play is not quite polished enough for Broadway, and that is precisely what it needs in order to work. It is not perfect, but who can take the vision of such a talented playwright as David Barr Katz and tell him how to perfect it? Not I, although I've read other critics who certainly do. They pretend to tell Katz that he doesn't know how to write plays, but he does. He certainly does. I recognize the insight and risk-taking in this play, and if Katz takes flights of fancy, there are times that he just indulges whatever direction he wants to go, gets a little discursive, which is fine because he's the playwright, and he wants to make a play that works, and this is his process. So if he wants to take these flights of fancy, that's for no one to judge. All one can ask is, does the play work? And the answer is definitely yes, in spades. Nothing is perfect, thank goodness, but genius need not be perfect. The performances are strong. Oscar, Emmy, and Golden Globe winner Ellen Burstyn at 79 has not lost her acting chops. She's still up there, still good, still looks good. And she still stretches. She puts her leg over a couch and touches her nose to her knee at 79. Good for her. And Tony and Obie Award winner John Glover is terrific. Pam McKinnon's direction is superlative. The scene change choreography gets 4 stars. And in fact, as John Glover told me, they worked very hard to make that part of the play, which, of course, is good directing. The staging is attentive. The potentially noisy air conditioning is only run during the intermission and before, because early in the run, the theater got too hot. They were losing some audience members who could not deal with that heat, so they addressed it, which you must do if you're going to really do a good play. And in this, no detail is left unaddressed. And this reviewer notes those things carefully. If you got an errant light or heat or bad seats, I'll tell you about it. But there's nothing to note here. No production flaws. The lighting is not noticeable, and you know what that means. It is excellent. When Murray says, "I am just being honest," his daughter Esther retorts, "The battle cry of the a-hole." Well, maybe he is, but he is being honest. Are all truthful people relegated to the category of a-hole? Or has political correctness somehow corrupted honesty, even as it spares some feelings? Perhaps honesty has more of a place in this world, but enough philosophy. If you like good theater, then what are you waiting for? Buy a ticket. So I like the play. John Glover does not listen to reviews, does not read reviews, so he has no idea, and he's not listening. So he just doesn't know how well he has been received. Again, the play is called The Atmosphere of Memory. It stars John Glover and Ellen Burstyn. It's the Labyrinth Theater Company at the Bank Street Theater in Lower Manhattan on Bank Street near West Street between West and Greenwich. It's really well worth it. The theater itself is it's an intimate theater. It's fewer than 100 seats. You can't be far from the action. All the seats are good. You're up close and personal with these fine actors. And I just recommend it. What can I tell you? All right, a couple of things before John joins us. I just have a couple of little things, time fillers kind of, which I'd like to just read, just they're random, from Harper's Magazine. The percentage of the current United States debt that was accumulated during Republican presidential terms, percentage, 71%. The portion of the debt ceiling elevations, the one that Obama had a fight for and just had a struggle to get, but the proportion of debt ceiling elevation since 1960 that had been signed into law by Republican presidents, 2/3. Percentage of profits American corporations paid in taxes in 1961, 40.6. Let me say that again. The percentage of profits that American corporations paid in taxes in 1961, 50 years ago, 40.6% of their profits were in taxes. Today, 10.5%. What happened to all that tax revenue? What happened? What happened indeed? The wealthy corporations pay candidates, support their campaigns, get people in who will make legislation that favors them. Percentage of Americans who say they did not have money to buy food at all times last year. That's 2010. Percentage of Americans who say they did not have money to buy food at all times last year is 18.2%. Okay, that's enough of my time fillers. We'll be back with John Glover in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Swift Current, Saskatchewan, Gay Michigan, or Gay Head, Massachusetts, K Cowyard, Massachusetts, Slapneck, Pigeon, Paradise, or Podunk. Yes, there is a Podunk, Michigan. Nothen or Blue, Now Then or Blue Earth, Minnesota, or Muttontown, New York. You have logged on to www.wbox.com and you are listening live, and we will be right back.
And national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. It's the first time in 46 years that Joe Paterno is not Penn State University's head football coach. Fired last night after former assistant coach Jerry Sandusky was arrested for allegedly molesting boys. The reaction?
Violence erupted overnight after a few thousand students took to the streets, some throwing rocks and flipping over a TV news van.
Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso in State College, Pennsylvania. Trying to make up for a memory lapse.
There's some agencies of government that I would like to forget, and I certainly forgot one last night in the Department of Energy.
Rick Perry after his nightmare moment in a Republican presidential debate.
It's three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and the, what's the third one there? Let's see.
The Michigan debate on CNBC said rival Republican Michelle Bachmann.
I think all of us felt very bad for him.
Perry said he will continue his campaign. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Friend, the award-winning DVD, I Want Your Money, is now available free. This is Pat Boone for Swiss America. With this free DVD, you'll discover how the present administration plans to take your money. And they won't stop till they get it all. Swiss America believes the truth presented in this film is so critical that they're offering it free to the first 1,000 callers. To get your free DVD, just call my friends at Swiss America, 1-800-289-2646. Ought to be you. 1-800-289-2646. Now, don't miss this one. I Want Your Money is entertaining, it's informative, and it's inspiring. It'll prove to you once and for all why owning gold and hard assets is a must. So get on the phone right now, 1-800-289-2646. A $25 DVD free for the asking. Oh, and tell them Pat Boone gave you this number, 1-800-289-2646.
Attention! Caribbean Cruise Line is giving away free cruises to the first 500 callers that register in your area. So get ready to write this number down and act fast. We know that the best type of traveler is a repeat guest, and we're so committed to this philosophy that we're giving away free cruises to prove it. That's right, a free cruise to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, a full spa, casino, live entertainment, three kids clubs, a kids water park, and more. Come see why we were recently named the best new Bahamas getaway cruise by Porthole Magazine. We're so sure you'll enjoy yourself and become a repeat customer that we're giving you this free cruise vacation for free. There's no catch. You're simply responsible for a small port fee, and your cruise is free. Just call 800-459-6614. That's 800-459-6614. It's over a $500 value, and it's yours free. So call now, 800-459-6614. That's 800-459-6614.
If you are interested in a career in radio broadcasting, interning at WVOX is a great place to learn. My name is Dennis Condon. I'm a graduate from Iona College just down the road, and I participated in WVOX's internship program. You get firsthand experience going out and reporting news stories, producing them for the airwaves, and learning how to record and work the soundboard. It's a great experience before entering the working world. If you are interested in the internship program at WVOX, call Don Stevens at 914-636-1460. Who knows, you could be interning at WVOX this summer. Again, that number is 914-636-1460.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for today, calling for cloudy conditions and milder highs in the mid-60s. There'll be a little bit of drizzle and a few light showers. Again, our high temperatures in the mid-60s. So that chance of some light rain showers for this evening, overnight clearing and cool, nighttime lows 40 to 45. Mostly sunny on Veterans Day Friday. Our highs will range into the lower 50s. It'll be breezy as well. Partly cloudy at night, mid-30s. Saturday features sunshine in the middle 50s. Sunday mostly sunny in the lower 60s on Sunday. I'm Andy Rogers, Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
This is America's great community radio station.
Really seems to be in touch with the heartbeat of the city.
AM 1460 WVOX.
WVOX.
We are back. You're listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. My guest today is John Glover, television, movie, Broadway, and off-Broadway actor, currently co-starring with Ellen Burstyn in The Atmosphere of Memory, which we just saw last weekend, just reviewed a few minutes ago. Welcome, John Glover.
Hi.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you now?
Swell.
Good. Okay, good. Listen, David Barkatz has written this a really good drama. I found it to be really good. My review, even though I know you don't listen to reviews, was a very positive one.
Thank you.
Okay. But to have such an excellent production, you know, I don't usually expect such quality from off-Broadway. Maybe that's just because I haven't been to enough off-Broadway. I think I'm going to do a little bit more now because I was so pleasantly surprised. Such fine performances all around, a small house of just under 100 seats.
It's 90-some seats.
90-something seats, and it's just so far from Broadway. How does it feel to play, first of all, Broadway, you're on a big stage with a big audience. How does it feel in an intimate theater like this where you can see the faces of the audience up close and you can almost hear them breathe?
You can hear them breathe. It's amazingingly wonderful. In L.A. a couple of years ago, I did a play called Secrets of the Trade that I did in a little 30-seat storefront theater.
My goodness.
It doesn't matter the size of it. There's something about live theater that's terrific, whether you're in a big house or a small house. It's you and the audience. Once the play starts, you don't... There's that kind of life on the edge feeling that you don't never know what's going to happen. You don't know what the chemistry of you and the audience. The audience is always different, so it's never the same. And they're part of the evening is that live audience.
Well, they have to be because they'll either laugh or clap or you have to be prepared to react to
sure.
what they do. Fourth wall notwithstanding.
The best example I've had is I played the 4 month when I was doing Smallville. I had a 3 month hiatus, the summer break, and I did the Drowsy Chaperone, the Man in the Chair. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that
for 4 months, and I'm not a musical person. I'm very uptight about singing. I basically was told I was tone deaf, so I bought it.
The
Man in the Chair only plays with the audience. So that was my my acting partner every night for 4 months. So it was amazing, and that's a 1,200 or 1,400 seat theater.
Yeah.
But every night they were different. But in a small house, ours, it's really different every night. Sometimes they're off put by some of the
language and the references.
Yes.
But, you know, the F word is used not infrequently in this, but it is used correctly. I've seen plays, most notably a play called November with Nathan Lane on Broadway, which is a terrible play. But they were just thrown in there gratuitously. Here, every character that uses the word is using it properly. So right. I'm not offended by that. I'm offended by overuse of vulgarity and references. But here, it's perfect. But yes, I can see where some audiences might not.
But it's live theater. It's always exciting, and especially in this play. I mean, it's a very intimate theater. The audience is in three different sections, you know.
Yes.
So they're a part of us. It's a unique experience what we're doing.
Well, I also like the way you played to each wing of the audience as well. You bowed to it in one place, and then you. Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah.
You know, it struck me, it evoked memories of Tracy Letts' August Osage County. I presume you're familiar with that.
I did. I saw that soon after it opened in New York. That was wonderful.
Now, that won the 2008 Tony for Best Broadway Play, and coincidentally, In the Heights won Best Musical that year. Both are my favorites. But the reason it evoked that is they're both family drama. And, you know, you can say that dysfunctional families, but couldn't you say that about every family?
In some way, sure, I would imagine. Yeah. I imagine every family's got tales to tell and things that they want to sort out and figure out.
And I didn't think this play was unusually so. I can see, not to give away too much of the plot, but I can see a young boy locking himself or hiding himself, secreting himself in his mother's closet where she has made space for him. I don't think that's so rare among mothers and their boy children, to where he can just observe things. I mean, it's a little bit off color, if you can imagine what she may have been doing while he observed. But I didn't think this family was really more dysfunctional than any other. And you, as the father, I relate to you. I think that I think you are a fine father.
Good for you. You should write your family drama sometime, Bob. I think you have a good play there from what you're saying and not saying. Maybe you should write it all down.
Well, I'm too big to fit in the closet now. Now, this play will have a life after this production, no doubt. It's a quality play. Do you suppose something like this would go to Broadway?
I don't know. I mean, you never can tell those things.
Yeah.
In the way the economy goes now, it depends on one review, I think, basically, if a play goes to Broadway or not, and that's the one in the New York Times.
Well, there was also, yeah, really.
Yeah, so that's a deciding factor. That's the reality of the situation of the world now.
That's Isherwood, is it?
New York Theater. They got Ben Brantley and
Charles Isherwood.
Mr. Isherwood, yeah.
Well, I don't think that those guys are so astute necessarily, and certainly they disagree.
I deserve comment. I'm not going to say a word.
You don't have to say a word, but
no.
I think that they often like to exercise their vocabulary and show just how smart they are, and I don't think they go to the theater to enjoy it. And if you don't go to the theater to be entertained and educated or enlightened in some way, if you just go to pick it apart, you can pick anything apart.
Exactly. So much of it depends on the mood.
Yeah.
What they had for breakfast.
That's right.
How their meal sat on their stomach.
That's right.
They talked to right before they went in. Who knows?
Exactly. Know, exactly.
One person's opinion is. It's quite a responsibility.
Which I take seriously, and if I can't find something good to say about the play, that's extraordinary because I always can. I'm a little tougher with movies because sometimes they put out such crap that you just have to say so. But plays, there's just too much that goes into that, and too much energy. So you are coming to Broadway next year, next season. Why don't you tell us about that?
Oh, Mike Nichols has offered me a part in his revival of Death of a Salesman.
Mike Nichols, and your co-star is
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Whoa,
Linda Eamon.
Linda
Andrew Eamon. Garfield. Bill Camp. It's a wonderful company.
I definitely will catch that play, no question about it.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. I can imagine. You played, was it Lionel Luther on Smallville?
I was Lex Luthor's daddy, a character in the comic book that never existed. So it was, I got a call about 2 days before the pilot shot, and they said maybe they might have you back for a few episodes this first season, and which they did, but only when I was available, because I like to do theater. So for the next six seasons, they all gave me a contract. So I sold my soul to Smallville.
It wasn't all that bad, was it?
Huh? No, it was a ball. And they were very inventive about the things that I did to my spineless son, villainous. But I made a decision that it was all on account of love. There was one season where I gave him shock treatment, electroshock. Yes, we had a good time. I was blind for a while.
And you went to jail and you got stabbed?
Say what?
You went to jail for a while and you got stabbed?
Oh, I went to
jail.
Go to jail. Apparently I killed my parents or was responsible for their death. Yeah.
All right, John, we have to take a break. But we'll be back. We're speaking with John Glover. You're listening to Environmentally Sound on AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York, or www.wvox.com. John Glover is starring with Ellen Burstyn in The Atmosphere of Memory at the Bank Street Theater. And we will be right back. ¶¶
national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. This Saturday's game against Nebraska, the first time in almost half a century that Joe Paterno will not be coaching at Penn State. His firing over the handling of sex abuse allegations. Some protesting the school's move.
Joe Pa alerted his supervisors, who one of those supervisors was the chief of all campus police. He did what he needed to do.
But even Joe Paterno in a statement yesterday said he wishes he would have done more. University President Graham Spanier also fired late last night after the state's governor told the school board to make changes here immediately.
Fox Radio's Jeff Manasso at the CMA Awards. Taylor Swift winning Entertainer of the Year, thanking artists who collaborated with her.
Someone a little less prepared, Blake Shelton, who won Male Vocalist again this year.
I didn't think y'all would let me get away with this two times.
Wife Miranda Lambert also won Female Vocalist again this year.
Fox Radio Sabrina Saban, rates on 30-year fixed mortgages falling below 4%. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Hello, friend. Pat Boone here to talk to the 50 million adults in the U.S. who suffer from arthritis and anybody who has back, joint, or muscle pain. Let me explain to you how a Safe Step walk-in tub can help you reduce your pain and have you feeling great. This tub offers incredible therapeutic relief for all kinds of aches, pains, and stress with carefully engineered dual hydro massage jets specially targeted to sore muscles and joints in your legs and lower back. A Safe Step walk-in tub means independence for people with limited mobility and has more standard features than any other tub. Safety never felt so good with the built-in support bar and the safer less than 4-inch step-up, so you barely have to lift your feet to get in. Made right here in the USA, installation is included. They come with a lifetime warranty. So take your first step toward feeling great and stay in the home you love. Call 800-405-4040 now for more information and to learn about our senior citizen discounts. 800-405-4040.
Attention, music of your lifers. Now is the time to protect your savings against rising inflation. Did you know the real rate of inflation is nearly 10% over the last year? Not the 2% that the government pretends. Sad but true, the coming inflationary cycle will soon drag the value of your earnings, your savings, your assets down dramatically. The skyrocketing cost of living could push gold prices well over $2,000 an ounce and silver over $100 an ounce. The good news is that Swiss America has identified areas of the metals market that are extremely attractive now. Call Swiss America. Learn how to win the inflation war using their proven diversification strategy at 800-630-1491. That's 800-630-1491. Ask for their free Battling Inflation Information Kit with a white paper and DVD. Call 800-630-1491. 800-630-1491. Again, 800-630-1491 today.
Lack critical thinking skills?
But Rob, don't you get it? You have to pay more in taxes. That's how you fix the spending problem. What? That makes no sense whatsoever. Stop listening to the pundits on TV and use your head.
Tune in to The Rob Rennie Show, now in prime time, every Friday at 5 p.m. What better way to kick off the weekend than listening to Rob on the drive home? The Rob Rennie Show, Fridays at 5 on AM 1460 WVOX and worldwide at WVOX.com. Making the time fly by at work.
Makes the day just fly by.
AM 1460, WVOX, New Rochelle, and WVOX Worldwide.
The voice of Westchester, WVOX.
We are back. I am Bob Levinsold. You're listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460. If you're listening in any of the very interesting named places in this world other than our broadcast area, you're listening on www.wvox.com. My guest today is John Glover, actor par excellence. Welcome back.
Thank you.
John, besides your acting, I want to make sure to get this in. You're also an activist. You are active in the Alzheimer's Association, are you?
Yeah, my dad have suffered with the Alzheimer's, and I wouldn't face the fact that it was happening. My mom died, and I realized that slowly realized, but did not want to accept that she'd been covering for him, that he was starting to fade mentally, and I felt like an ostrich. I kept burying my head in the sand, you know, trying not to look at it and pretend it wasn't happening. And finally, I got to a point where I needed help, so I called up the Alzheimer's Association, and they were there for me. So I try to tell the story, so because I know it's devastating when it starts to happen to family members. I'm sure there are a lot of people who felt like I did, that they didn't want to happen, so they wouldn't do anything. There's still a certain amount, I think, of shame that goes with it, when cancer, you know, started spreading so virulently that a lot of people were feeling that way with it, you know. But the sooner you can grab a hold and realize what's happening, there are certain medications that can slow the process down a little bit. But just what I missed with my dad was because he lost his ability to communicate, really. So there were certain things that I never got to. I mean, I could say to him, but he couldn't understand, and he couldn't talk back. So we in a time when we could have really done some important communicating, I lost that chance because I couldn't face what was happening to me. So I just want to try and make people understand how important it is to when you see these signs of dementia starting to deal with it and talk about it and open up about it and start communicating.
Well, that's very touching, John. I appreciate that. I'm sure our audience does too. I guess the point you especially want to make is not to be embarrassed, not to look away, but to do whatever you can as quickly as you can.
And start talking
Make
it make something worthwhile happen.
Very moving. I didn't want to dig so deep into your those memories, but so be it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing that I know you're proud of is that there is a John Glover Scholarship Endowment established at your university, Towson University.
In Baltimore.
In Baltimore. And I read how one of the greatest gifts to you anyone could give would be to make a contribution. So I have this morning written a check to the John Glover Scholarship
Fund.
Thank
you, Bob. Thank you so much.
I will send to the lady who is listed here is Robin Quick, Dr. Robin Quick.
So
anybody who is interested, anyone who admires John Glover's work and would like to have a hand in that, you can call Dr. Robin Quick at Towson University. The telephone is 410-704-2312, and the email is rquick@towson.edu.
It's T-O-W-S-O-N.
T-O-W-S-O-N.
So, yeah, yeah.
So you're not just a handsome villain. You're not just a villain. And by the way, our station manager, I was discussing you with him earlier. He says, while you're extremely versatile, one of those actors who can play roles from wherever, kind of like Brando could, that you are best as villains. Do you like that? Do you agree with that?
Well, they're really good parts, villains. They tend to move the story along. So they're usually very active characters to play.
And do people who wait at the stage door for an autograph kind of look sneer at you rather than, oh, hello. Hi, John Glover. What a performance. They say, you rat. What do they do?
Well, it depends on what, if they've seen me in a play, they just, you know, most of the villain stuff is from films and TV. I did a very successful movie in a villain part in a movie called 52 Pickup back in the 80s.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of typed me as a villain. So in films and TV, I play villains a lot. On the stage, I don't do that as much.
Well, you're not a villain in Atmosphere of Memory, but certainly it's a colorful character who could be seen as... Gee, I don't know what word to use.
There's so many words you could use, aren't there? It's a rich play. I remember when my agent called me about it, and I started reading it, and I just got it immediately. It's so irreverent. I think that's one of the things I liked about it. I'm telling you, get a button pushed. Everybody can get some kind of button pushed when they see this play. But it's wonderfully funny while it does dig down into a kind of a young man's pain about where he came from.
Yeah, and everybody else's too. The sister, I think her name is Esther.
Esther.
She also is. Has to play. She is offended in some ways as well. And in fact, in one case, sometimes bad drama, or sometimes drama likes to become operatic, and they throw in extreme things. There was somebody said something about shooting themselves. So I thought when Esther went off stage at a certain moment, I'm sure you know which moment that is, when she said, "Don't write me out of the play." Basically, yeah. I was half expecting a gunshot.
But
I'm glad I didn't hear it, because that would be over the top, and you don't have to when you have such rich material, as you say.
Yeah, it's the levels of reality in the play are just amazing. It just twists and turns all the way through the evening. It's a fascinating, wonderful play.
And a shallow guy like Charles Isherwood of the New York Times did not get
not
it. You're not
going to
say,
Bob.
But I can. You see, I can. Well, John, you have won an Emmy Award for...
No, I didn't win any.
I'm sorry. No, I don't mean... You've been nominated 5 times for an Emmy. You won a Tony for Love, Valor, and Compassion. And did I read correctly that you played twin gay British brothers?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was twins. It was a beautiful role. I've done 4 of Terrence McNally's plays.
Uh-huh.
Lisbon Traviata, the Spring Before Last down at the Kennedy Center. They did a 3 of his plays that were all kind of based on opera. He loves opera.
Mm-hmm.
And I played a man who's obsessed with Maria Callas. A play of his called Lips Together, Teeth Apart, and then a kind of a play that lots of scenes with lots of about 9 actors, and we all play lots of characters, called Some Men. He's become a friend of mine. He's an incredible playwright, and I love to do his work.
And he considers you one of his people.
Yes, I'm one of Terrence's. I'm in his company, I guess.
Well, speaks well for him that you are in his company. I'm not familiar with his work, so I can't say. But
he wrote it. Tyne Daly just did this past year in Masterclass. That's one of his plays. Did you see her do that at the?
I did not.
At the Friedman. Oh,
I did not see Masterclass.
They're going to go to London with that play.
Interesting.
Masterclass.
So you've been nominated for Emmys 5 times for Early Frost, Nutcracker, Money, Madness, and Murder, L.A. Law, Crime and Punishment, and Outstanding Guest Actor in a Comedy Series for Frasier.
Yeah.
You have not yet won an Emmy, but you have won.
Never a bride.
What is that?
Never a bride. Always a bride.
No. You won a Tony.
I did.
And a Tony is a big one. And a Drama Desk, I believe. Did you not win a Drama Desk?
Oh, back in the 70s, I did a production of The Great God Brown that Hal Prince directed. I was in my 20s, and he entrusted me with this part in this play by Eugene O'Neill. It was John McMartin and Catherine Helmond, and I'll always be indebted to Hal for that. He was 28 years old, and he just gave me this part to play.
Cool. And you've actually, didn't you get a big break when you played opposite Jane Fonda once?
Oh, in a movie called Julia that Fred Zinnemann directed, yes.
And that brought you to the attention of the masses, I think?
I had one scene. It was a great scene. And she slaps me at the end. I saw stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she really hit me. It was fabulous.
Well, she's an actress. You have to take that on stage. Well, John, it's been a pleasure talking to you. We look forward very much next season to seeing you in Death of a Salesman with Philip Seymour Hoffman, directed by Mike Nichols. If I get the chance, I'm going to come see Atmosphere of Memory again. That's how much I liked it.
Oh, good. We closed the 20th.
Yeah.
Week and a half.
I noticed that.
Well,
okay, so anybody wants to catch this great play, you got to do it before the 20th of November. It's at the Bank Street Theater. Okay.
Thanks
so much,
nice talking
John.
To you.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I'd like to thank John Glover for being with us today. I don't have too much time. All I can say is thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.
Amplify your voice.
Easy to work. Press talk button. AM.